Okay, now we're out of time, so part three we're going to have to keep very short. In a nutshell, what we tried to show in part one was that you have to really understand in order to speak about doing things that are counterintuitive. You have to really understand that the Torah is true before you can start talking about doing things that the Torah says that run so strongly against our logic or our conscience, such as killing someone. You can't just do that because you walked into Machon Meir and you're here for a day. And if it bothers you when you encounter such a mitzvah, that's legitimate. It should bother you. But give yourself time to understand what Judaism is all about. You'll see the whole picture, and Be'ezrat Hashem, you'll understand what the Torah is saying, and etc. So that was part one. And we also stressed that without that, then you can't even start. Part two was to tackle the concept that the human being, the human race, has some kind of conscience or gauge for what's good or bad. So we illustrated many cases that today everyone would agree are bad, but once upon a time people thought were good, and vice versa. Meaning the founding fathers of the United States owned slaves, and they saw no problem with that. And today everyone says that's immoral, that's unethical, they had no issue with it. So human morality keeps shifting. But God gave us a moral code that doesn't shift, because He who created the world can say what's right and wrong. And then, as we ended that discussion, you started challenging with the question, well, wouldn't you agree that there is a certain kind of human ethic, there is a certain kind of human morality that should be there, there is a conscience that a human being has, to which I countered and said, wait a second, can you explain to me logically why we shouldn't eat one another alive, or at least when we're dead? Could you explain to me why we don't make a barbecue every time a person dies? And I really didn't answer your question. I was coming to illustrate a point. I was really trying to show that logic and morality don't necessarily go hand in hand. You can't logically explain what's wrong with incest. The world prohibits it, but go explain to me what's wrong with it. Logic and morality don't necessarily go hand in hand, but morality and a conscience, and that's where you're driving at, morality and the human conscience do go hand in hand, and the human being is given what we would call a God-gifted soul with a certain compass, with a certain conscience. The problem with it is that if you're just going to leave it at that, so then go study philosophy for the last two millennium and you'll see that people came up with all kinds of different theories. We say that the human being does have a conscience and does have a logical system and can reach the most basic forms of morality. Not to steal, not to kill, not to blaspheme, to set up a justice system, meaning from within, the human conscience should lead him to the seven Noahide laws. Now, it might take a long time to get there. It might take development. It might take a lot of counseling. It might not be so easy. A guy grew up in Rwanda and he's used to all the murder and everything he grew up with. It's not going to be easy steps, but he can get there. You know, there's this fantastic institution in Jerusalem. You probably heard of it. It's called Machon Meir. And we get guys who walk into here who came from the far ends of the world and researched and thought and questioned and began life very far away from Machon Meir. And then they come and they say, okay, there's something to this. It doesn't happen in a day, but it is attainable. Now, without part one and part two, what I just said in part three carries no weight to my mind. You have to think about what we're discussing here. But I'm saying that the human logic and conscience should lead a person to the Noahide laws, should lead a person to monotheism, should lead a person to the path of Judaism. Now, I can't prove my point too well, because if I have to point to the world, well then why haven't the Tutus figured this out? They're still murdering the other tribe there. What's the name of the other tribe? Hutus? I don't remember. What? In Africa. You have two tribes. Whenever one gets power, they start murdering the other one. How come the people in Syria haven't figured this out? How come the people in Iran haven't figured this out? You look around the world is not so supportive of what I just said. And that's why I began with part one and part two, even though theoretically part three really answers your question. Yes, there is a human conscience. And there is a challenge when the Torah suddenly forces us to act against what our natural conscience is. And I'll even say it sharper. The Torah hones our conscience. The Torah trains us to be kind and good and giving. And so when King Saul is suddenly faced with the challenge to go and kill men, women, and children, King Saul says, how can I do that? The Torah has been training me my whole life to be so moral, so ethical, so kind, so caring. I'm going to kill children? Now that's a legitimate claim on the surface, provided that you ignore part one and part two. And that's what the prophet tells him. He says, wait a second, what are you talking about? You've become a pagan with this statement. What you've done is taken God out of the equation. You've erased part one. Ki chatat kesem meri. Because your rebellion against the Ribon Shalom with the claim, I can't kill kids. What you've basically said is chatat kesem. He says, you're meri. Your rebellion against Hashem is chatat kesem. It's like a sin to go after a pagan. Go after a sorcerer. You're leaving it up to whatever you can figure out. Well, okay, then that's not Judaism. So that's what the prophet comes to King Saul and says, how could you do this? But that's only because you have step one. That's only because you begin with the demand of King Saul. If you're king of the people of Israel, you better be pretty clear that God's the God and what he says goes. And if that's not clear, then where are you? What are you doing here? Yeah? So I think that step one is the pivotal part of our discussion, even though technically step three really answers your question. Yes, a person has a conscience, and yes, the conscience is healthy, and yes, if we let that conscience grow, it'll get to the right direction. Ah, but what I'm saying doesn't fit. Look at the world around you. It's not there. So that's a good question. That deserves a separate discussion. Why the world chooses to go astray? Why isn't the world following the Noahide laws? Good question. Deserves a long discussion. But if you've accepted one and two, if you've worked out part one and two, so then part three basically says, yes, we were granted a conscience. It's our job to develop it. The Torah develops it with a constant system that's been constant since the giving of the Torah. For a non-Jew, he's supposed to develop it to the direction of the Noahide laws. And when a Jew suddenly faces the contradiction that the Torah contradicts his conscience, then we say that's a test. The Ribon Shalom is giving us mitzvos that are not easy for us to perform. But you understand that the lines I'm saying now, to my mind, carry zero weight if you haven't crossed the threshold of part one. Because then anyone could say that. You know, when the satanic cults tell their people, slit their wrists and start sucking the blood, they also say, it's a test. I know it's unnatural to you, but this is what Satan wants you to do. So now, what's the difference between me and them? Okay? If you're not going to address that in a real way, so then you've said nothing. And that's why I couldn't begin with part three. Because even though part three technically answers your question, but it's not an answer unless you've really worked out part one. Yeah? Make sense? So that's in a nutshell. In essence, this needs a series. Because I'm taking big concepts, complicated concepts, things that have to be worked out, and we're saying it in one night in three parts. Doesn't work that way. These things have to be thought about. But I hope we've started a thought process.